Yeah, you might think, given that the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate, that it hurt the Republican brand. But in fact, it hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit.
Schumer and company continue to conflate and outright deny the brutal impact the health care handouts to illegal aliens has had on the American people, now utilizing their socialist EBT voting base as leverage in a game of sociopathic chicken.
The greatest hunger crisis since the Great Depression, when 42 million people lose their SNAP benefits this weekend. What are these Democrats waiting for? This is not a game. This is not leverage. They're taking food off the table for families, for babies. It's disgusting. It's time to end the madness.
But the simple numbers don't lie. Illegal immigrants accounted for $23 billion in federal medical expenditures annually, while American citizens waited in ER purgatory for basic care with little to no insurance. A 2024 FAIR study using CMS and census data pegs the yearly cost of Medicaid, CHIP, and emergency room write-offs for 15.4 million illegal immigrants at roughly $9,000 per head, tied to a broader $150 billion net fiscal burden from illegal immigration since 2021. Meanwhile, 27.1 million U.S. citizens remain uninsured, and 44% of working-age adults skip needed medical care because of cost. California's Medi-Cal expansion to 700,000 undocumented adults cost $4 billion in 2024. That was more than the state's $3.8 billion prison health care budget. Meanwhile, 1.4 million Californians lost coverage during the redetermination process through early 2024.
Think of it. They want to give away $1.5 trillion to people that come into the country illegally. And as you know, the borders now are closed. But when they hear that they get the greatest health care package in the world and they have no money, but they're living okay in another country, they head up and they start forming caravans and they try and come into our country. But the big problem is they want to give health care to people that should not get health care. They want to give health care to illegal immigrants by the millions. Look at Gavin Newsom, what he's done. He's ruined California. He gives health care to anybody.
New York City's public hospitals managed $1.47 billion in migrant expenditures in fiscal year 2023.
And so here in Illinois, we are now adding thousands a month as you have unhealthy and sick undocumented citizens from around the country, from frankly around the world, that are coming to Illinois because the fact we are the only state that covers these individuals for total health care. And so this is something that is really creating a significant problem for our budget.
Meanwhile, wait times for U.S. veterans at VA facilities average 22 days for primary care, still too long amid a surge in demand. Congress allocated $16 billion in disproportionate share hospital payments to safety net systems where illegals could receive care, while the 46 million Americans in rural populations continue to clamor for health care that never comes. The blood money trail leads straight to the marble halls of power. Cerberus Capital, Apollo Global, and GTCR have turned the migrant health care crisis into a billion-dollar extraction machine, siphoning $300 million a year from ICE detention contracts alone. These vultures dumped $4.41 million into D.C. lobbying in 2025 alone, 40% to Democrats to keep the bipartisan spigot open, ensuring every illegal alien ER dump-off is a taxpayer-funded jackpot. The infrastructure? A permanent profit pipeline from the border to the boardroom. Your dialysis denied, their dividends delivered. Don't look now. Your health care has been hijacked in broad daylight. John Bound reporting for
Alex Jones, Patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned into the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I am now joined in studio by two Ians. Ian Wint, also known as I Winster. How do you pronounce that?
It's I Winster.
I Winster. Yeah. I-W-E-N-D-E-N-D-T-S-T-E-R yeah. On social media. He's a husband and a father, an entrepreneur, and a proud American First Patriot. He is the founder and CEO of Official Patriot Gear, a premium apparel company whose mission is to emphasize the importance of nonpartisan patriotism and freedom for all. They're both getting all hopped up on methyl and blue right now. Ian Carroll, well, of course, hosts the Ian Carroll Show on YouTube and uses X to deliver the truth, much to the ire of our enemies. You can follow him at Ian Carroll Show on X. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to see you again, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Good to see both of y'all. And yeah. Obviously, y'all have been talking about Charlie Kirk quite a bit and all the other major conspiracies in the world right now. Where are you guys landed right now on Charlie Kirk? Let's start there. Who do you think did it and why?
Man, I mean, it's all percentages of certainty, right? Because we do not know. But my percentage of certainty that it's not what they're telling us is extremely high.
Right.
Like well over 99% yeah. High. And so that leaves who did do it. And it's pretty obvious that there was more than a single actor involved. It's pretty obvious that there was some sort of conspiracy large enough that you need state level involvement of some sort, or at least like organized crime level involvement, like very skilled operation. And so that doesn't leave that many options. And it's pretty obvious when Charlie is expressing his concern that a certain nation is going to kill him, and he's speaking out about their pressure on him, and he is the paragon of Zionist funded influence in America up to that point, but has been questioning it largely. There's an obvious primary culprit in Israel. And that's not to say that it's like all of Israel probably or anything like that. But for me, it seems likely that it's probably some sort of splinter group that is a coalition of forces in probably the American government and probably the FBI in some form. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeing a cover up like we're seeing.
Right.
And probably in Israeli and Zionist donor interests that might have reached all the way over to the nation of Israel. And it seems likely that they must have some sort of native Utah element as well,
right,
in order to help actually effectuate it on the ground. But we don't know for sure what that means, but we have a lot of questions. And Turning Point USA is not helping, because everything that's coming out of Turning Point USA is really weird and suspicious. So,
yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody really knows. But like, what we know is that the official narrative does not make any sense whatsoever.
Right.
Not even a small part of it. All of it seems to be weird and doesn't connect the dots, and like everything from the shooter they said it was to, for me, it's just follow the money, right? So again, we don't know, but like it's like they're telling us to look at the wall and they're saying that wall is yellow, and we're like, no, that wall's blue.
Yeah.
And then that you all, you're anti-Semitic if you say the wall's blue.
Yeah, unfortunately. Exactly. Yeah.
That is I agree with both y'all. And again, it does appear as though we have some high level cover up at the FBI, which, if you're going to get that type of service from the FBI, you're not just, you know, run of the mill criminal enterprise. You're something at the highest levels. And of course, we've seen, and it's almost like no matter who did it, something happened during his assassination. Like, and it's almost too perfect. That was a turning point of one sort or another. And we've seen Trump really go hard on Israel after that. You know, they're talking about we had to use leverage to get the peace deal that we currently have. He's making very strident statements about the West Bank. I don't know. I mean, they're correlated. I don't know if there's a causation there, but then we've seen the way that just the propaganda, the psyop, the attempt to discredit Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes. And I mean, there's a panic happening. I know you guys have been like on the road and traveling, so maybe you haven't been able to watch, you know, Ben Shapiro's expose on Nick Fuentes. Did you see that?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah.
So
I
mean, it's just like,
it's all is on X
working?
Right now.
Do we think this is working?
No, it's radicalizing more people. It's radicalizing more kids. I mean, that's the thing, is that the elephant in the room is that Nick Fuentes' entire story started with Ben Shapiro not engaging with his ideas, but instead sabotaging his character and sabotaging his career. And then Nick Fuentes spent 10 years ostracized from the world, just getting by on his own, more or less, and, you know, make whatever you want of Nick Fuentes' story. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact that it's been 10 years and still Ben Shapiro appears to be afraid to debate him. When the obvious solution to the whole thing is, Ben, just debate the guy. Just debate him and beat him in the marketplace of ideas like you say you are a master of.
Yep.
Yeah, and also I would just say, I mean, if you want to prove to somebody that there's nothing nefarious going on, you don't do any of the things that they're doing.
Right.
Like none of them. You don't try to shut down all, you know, witnesses from the 3,000 witnesses, anybody that comes forward that's like an actual witness out of 3,000 people. You don't try to ban the cameras in the courtroom. And you don't go on this massive campaign to prove your innocence. They say that the guilty scream the loudest, right? It's like every time you turn around, these people are constantly trying to vindicate themselves. And it's like, dude, if you're innocent, just don't say anything and just let people say what they want. And it'll all come out in the end, right?
The problem, Ian, is that they're not innocent.
Yeah, I mean, they're not at all.
And even the ones that are innocent, we're seeing an awful lot of people that are sort of grifting on the outcome in order to present Charlie as a paragon of Israel, which, like, it's, we're not trying to, no one's trying to say that he didn't like Israel and that he was going to turn his back on Israel completely.
I am.
But, and I want to dig into that. but it's very obvious that the propaganda is completely skewing the narrative of what was really going on in Charlie's head and in the public square. And we have obvious clips from his own show, from his own life, refuting that.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the clips that came out of the Republican Jewish Coalition or whatever, you know, all these people that got together, that it was basically a massive smear campaign on Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes and so all these people. Like, dude, when you get all these people together just to smear a few people, it's an obvious coordinated attack, right?
Yeah, how many millions of dollars do you think that conference cost to put on?
Exactly. But what's crazy is all of the things that they were saying. I actually made a video today about Officer Tatum gets up and he talks about how, I'm sick of people asking questions. Like, don't tell me you're just asking questions. Like, that's just ignorant. And he also says, if you don't support Israel, you're either ignorant or you hate Jews. And then sure enough, if you go watch the video, the clip of Charlie Kirk, I think this is in like 2023. Now, I will admit, in 2023, he was still very pro-Israel.
Right.
But there's a clip from one of those events where he straight up says, listen, I'm not going to stop asking questions. And I've been called an anti-Semite and I've been called a Jew hater and all these different things just because I'm asking the questions. But he says specifically, he says, if there's anything we've learned through COVID and everything else, you ask questions because that's what's going to keep you free. But here you have Charlie Kirk, one of Charlie Kirk's best friends, right? Who likes to sell his T-shirts after he's dead, standing up there saying, I'm tired of people asking questions. And it's like, that's not what your buddy said.
Completely unethical.
All the way to
what we know, yeah.
Yeah, and then even all the way up to leading to the end when he goes on the Megyn Kelly show. He said the exact opposite of what all of these pro-Zionist people are saying at this coalition.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm going to go with the guy who was asking the questions and went from here to here and ended up here ideologically, because that to me makes more sense and that to me is more genuine.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about the investigation of Kirk's assassination is that it has brought so many people together from so many different sides of the political aisle, right? Because everyone with common sense that doesn't have a pony in the race, that isn't getting paid or, you know, propped up by a certain lobby, everyone sees an issue with it. Like, and for me, one of the big things watching the initial days of investigation was seeing all of the military people come out and say, that's not the bullet hole that we should see.
Right.
That's not the wound that we should see. And it's immediately obvious. And so you have a whole bunch of ex-military, ex-Green Berets, ex-medics that are just laying out the facts as they see it from their expert opinion. And that's just the start. And so it's brought all these interesting different voices that would normally not be talking into panel discussions and into into like joint investigation, because even people that didn't like Charlie, like I was quite adversarial to him during life. Even people that didn't like him see what's wrong here and see that this is not just an affront to his name and his legacy and to his, like, everything he tried to do, as far as I'm aware, but it's kind of an affront to the whole American people and the whole American experiment.
Well, and it's so funny that you say that, because I went out this weekend and I had a conversation that I've had exactly the same conversation over and over. I wonder if you guys have too, where someone goes, so, you know, what do you do? And I'm talking to two ladies and I say, well, you know, I host a show. It's, you know, about like conspiracies and stuff. And they're like, ooh, I love conspiracies, like aliens and Bigfoot. And I'm like, I wish. I'm like, those are the fun conspiracies.
The Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, I'm like, it's more like
end of the world kind of stuff.
More like the powers that be are trying to enslave humanity and we're trying to stop them. But like, yeah, it's not quite as fun. But funnily enough, then this other girl goes, so like the Charlie Kirk conspiracies. And I was like, yeah, just like that. And it was just weird because, like, that, I guess,
that's the one.
Yeah, it's like, you know, instead of saying, oh, the JFK assassination or one of these, you know, or 9/11, it's like the normies out there, these girls are normies, trust me. And it was funny because then I was like, oh, have you guys been following that? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, who do you think did it? And the girl's like, I'm leaning towards Trump or his wife right now. And I was like, you don't think it was Israel? And she was like, oh, I hadn't heard that one. I'm like, I don't know where your information from.
What platform are you on?
It's weird, but clearly it's broken through the conspiracy containment wall and has entered into the normieverse. And people are, you know, questioning this. And this is obviously a very big, you know, point of research and contention, and people are having discussions about this. So, I mean, they failed to contain this conversation.
Well, yeah, I think that is exactly what you said. I mean, I've said this, and, you know, while Charlie Kirk wasn't a presidential candidate or a president or whatever, like, we just witnessed our modern day JFK.
Right.
I mean, with all the different inconsistencies, with all the different stories that don't add up, with the multiple organizations and people and groups that seem to be in on this or potentially in on this, we're watching that, I think, that size of a conspiracy play out in front of us.
Yeah.
And it's the exact reason why they coined conspiracy theory during JFK, right? So, like, now is now the new term anti-Semitic, that if you question this question, like, you're just an anti-Semite for questioning why this guy was killed or how he's killed or who.
A lot of similarities there between the creation of the term conspiracy theorist and the creation of the term anti-Semite. Very true. Any other similarities between the JFK assassination and the Charlie Kirk one?
About 5 million.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Let's start with the magical bullet that can kill a moose, that can go through and through an elk and is instead stopped by a little bit of flesh in his neck, apparently.
Yeah.
And we get conflicting reports about they found the bullet, they didn't find the bullet, the bullet was fragmented, the bullet wasn't fragmented. All these, it's like,
where he shot from, how he assembled the gun, did he disassemble gun, did he put it in his pants, was he wearing different clothes? Like, dude, he spotted in Dairy Queen, and then he went and got gas 30 miles away for no reason, and then he came home, and then he went to dinner, and he turned himself into his dad. Like,
it's weird. It's all very weird.
When you say it like that, it literally seems like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, and there's a number of things that the thing about it is that there's so much video, and we would expect more video. It's a little weird that we don't have more from such a big event, but there is a lot of video. And video, we can pretty well tell that it's not all AI video. It's cell phone video. And when you have events on video, that's a real event that happened, and every single thing you see has to have an explanation.
Right.
And there are numerous things that are clearly caught on video, some of them literally released by the federal government, by the FBI, that are completely unexplainable. I have questions, but are unexplainable. do not fit any rational version of the mainstream FBI narrative that they're trying to push.
Well, like, what are you thinking? Like how he broke down the gun, stuff like that?
The first one that comes to mind is that the FBI released video of the shooter running and jumping off the roof as though like, look, this is our guy and we're looking for him. But we clearly know, and I've been to that campus and seen it for myself, that video camera has direct line of sight to where the shot was taken from, allegedly. And so they, apparently the FBI thought that they would cut the video after the shot was taken, about 3 seconds after the shot was taken, and not show us clearly this man took the shot, but instead just show him running and jumping off the roof.
Right.
As one example.
The other thing is, as you watch the video, you can see people's reaction, and they're not, when the shot goes off, they're not turning towards the place where the FBI is saying that he was shot from. Mm. And on top of that, you have all of the detractors, right? All the people who, was there like two guys, I think, that stood up that said, it's me or whatever, and tried to pull the attention away.
Yeah.
It was directly in front of him.
Mm.
And so there's so many things that don't add up. The letter that went to my lover, and now, by the way, he's just disappeared. Nobody knows where he went. This transgender roommate
Twigs,
or whatever.
Twigs, yeah.
Then you have Cash Patel thwarting an investigation into
the foreign involvement.
He's busy going to see his girlfriend perform at concerts, bro. He's got shit to do.
But his girlfriend's not a Mossad agent, Ian.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. 100%,
I would also add one more thing that's caught on video that is striking, but is not obvious to the average human. The average person, because most people are not trained in how to deal with a gunshot wound. But I have spoken to many, and there, you can go on YouTube and look up Green Berets and combat medics talking about these things. And even I have the level of medical training to understand it, that we have video of Charlie's security team definitively not treating a gunshot wound, not treating an arterial bleed. If you have an arterial bleed like this, you need to, within seconds, clamp that arterial bleed by stuffing your hands in there and clamping it by whatever means necessary. Then you need to pack that wound. You cannot move a person's body to a hospital while they're bleeding out of an artery. Right. And that's just the first layer, because they're going to die within a minute or two from the arterial bleed if you don't treat that wound. But we also have a spinal injury, and you don't move a person with a spinal injury without securing their spine in a very specific way that I am trained to do. And that's not a high level of training. And so these are ex-military bodyguards that should be explicitly trained in how to do this. And instead of treating Charlie Kirk's wounds at all properly, they rush his body off with no attention to either of these wounds I just mentioned, and shove him into an SUV, and then drive off to a hospital that we have questions about a little bit. Right. So.
And then you also have to consider the fact that I posted about this because I had an insider who was there on the ground that day, and he confirmed, along with a lot of other people, that Charlie's security detail purposely did not want to coordinate with campus police or local PD. They purposely did not want to. So it's like, why? That's, to me, that's really weird. And again, I don't know a whole lot about like executive protection or whatever, but everybody I've talked to, buddies who have been in executive protection, buddies who have been in security, every single one of them have said, number one, it is super weird that they didn't want more backup. Number two, it is super weird that they didn't, do a better job of vantage points, right? And then number three, apparently a lot of the blame was being placed on local PD and the officers that were there. But every one of my buddies that have been in executive protection said, no. The blame 100% falls on Charlie's security detail.
Right.
Because they're like, if I was the one in charge of that, number one, I would have looked for those vantage points and I would have said, hey guys, look, I don't like this. Right. I don't like how many roofs are here. I don't like how close they are. And then on top of that, if something happened, I would feel guilty for it.
Right.
So when you consider all of these things, it's just like, we're not saying what happened, but like, yeah, it's just
that is just the day of, right?
Exactly.
And there's plenty more the day of.
Everything that follows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important to note too in this conversation that I speak for myself, but I think a lot of people that are trying to commentate on this would probably agree that we don't want to talk about this. We don't want to be in the situation. We don't want this to have ever happened.
No.
We don't want this to be the story that we have to cover. Right. That's not good.
But we want the truth.
That it happened, it's up to the American people to get to the bottom of it, because this is not just about one right-wing commentator being killed, although that is super tragic and should be explored to the depths of the truth. But it's about like the entire American experiment and ideal, and it's about free speech, and it's about who controls our government right now. Because if we're not getting an adequate, let alone a exceptional investigation into this, Charlie Kirk got Trump elected. Charlie Kirk was their boy. And if that administration is not going to investigate this with every resource as thoroughly as possible, but instead is we have the chief of the FBI shutting down investigations that are very legitimate into foreign actors, that kind of stuff just screams cover up to us.
Yeah. So what's up with, what is up with Cash Patel? What do you think? Because, he'll come out and go, guys, don't worry. We're looking into it. The plane, we're looking into this, we're looking into. And then he's writing this essay about his country music sensation girlfriend who's nobody's ever heard of a song she's ever sung. So, I mean, what is going on with this guy? I don't want to throw him under the bus, but what the hell?
I'll throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
He covered up the Epstein files blatantly after
campaigning on it,
making money off of his podcast, his conspiracy podcast, all about what he would do to expose Epstein.
I don't think a lot of people know that Kash Patel had a literal podcast that was based on conspiracy theories. Yeah, he went on the Sean Ryan show, and that's all he talked about.
Yeah, and he explained exactly how he would declassify all the files and take them all down. And then instead, we get the most blatant cover up that is not even half assed. It is zero assed. And so that's like the
most
start.
Boomer
that's
cover up. Of all time.
And then we get to this investigation, and not only is Cash dodging and weaving and shutting things down, but now we have this whole scandal about his girlfriend and his plane that is absolutely abhorrent. And it is embarrassing to the American people and to the office of the FBI for him to be writing this type of tweet about his girlfriend, and for that to be at all the conversation right now, for him to be flying on his private FBI jet to go see her and then to fire the person that was in the FBI that kind of exposed it. Like, bro, that is embarrassing.
Not swamp activity.
To mention, you have him standing. I don't even remember when this was, but he was in the White House, and he literally called everybody that's asking questions about this conspiracy theorist.
Right.
He literally said that. He's like, we're done with these conspiracy theories. I'm like, bro, what? You literally ran an entire podcast about conspiracy theories. And this show, the Sean Ryan show, like, you talked about it. You talked about how all of these things needed to be declassified. So now you're going to tell me that you get in there and you're just like, it's all normal. And by the way, where's David Harris Jr.? Like, wasn't there a point in time where David Harris Jr. was actually saying that he was going to leave, that he was going to step down at the very beginning? And then all of a sudden it was like, just kidding, I'm coming back. I wonder if maybe he saw something and was like, ooh, I'm out, I can't do this. And then they were like, nope, you're already in, buddy.
So what do you think is the mechanism for control? Because clearly, I mean, there's, you know, it would be comical if it wasn't so real, where it's like, they're like, we're going to do this, we're going to, and then it's just like, all right, come back here to this room. And then 5 minutes later, they come out just like, there's nothing to see. Everything is good. Right. Everything is normal. Stop asking
questions. Like MK Ultra stuff, dude.
It's like,
did you just get put in a chair and like, I don't know, winter soldiered? Like,
I genuinely do not know, man. Because I think as regular people, it's impossible to believe that there's some mechanism in place in the American government at the highest level of law enforcement that you can get a new director of the FBI can like walk into a room and they can say, we're going to kill your kids if you don't. Like, that is unbelievable that would be happening. But it's hard to square his 180 with any other type of like blackmail or threat situation, unless you're thinking about maybe there's like then you're talking Q stuff where it's like there's some like next level threat where they have this intel and you have to go along with this. Or it's like, dude, that does not make sense either. So I genuinely don't know. But the 180 happened and we all have watched it. And so there has to be an explanation, and that gets to some pretty dark areas pretty dang quick.
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
I always go back to, I mean, you know, it is the age old thing, but like when you're considering conspiracy theories, it's always literally follow the money.
Yeah.
100%. Because at the end of the day, who stands to gain the most money from the situation that's happening right now? And, you know, when you consider, again, not saying this is what's happening, nobody knows, but we're absolutely asking the questions because that's what Charlie wanted, right? But like when you look at Turning Point, when you look at the donors they were losing and now the donors they seem to have gained and all the momentum that they've gained and all the extra chapters and all these other things, right? And all the notoriety of the organization, I think, is way bigger. And then you also consider everything that's happened with Israel and with the Greater Israel Project. And by the way, the real Gaza Riviera project, because that's not fake. Yeah, that's absolutely real.
Actually, I got a video on that.
They turned the place into a parking lot, and now they're building it into a luxury tourist destination. I look at that, and I'm like, I think there were multiple actors, but for me, it's the people that stood to gain the most.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not calling Cash's girlfriend a Mossad agent, but she certainly worked for Prager University, which is run by a Mossad agent.
She did grow up in Hollywood and was a child actress.
And not to mention the founder of PragerU apparently is totally okay with kitty porn. I don't know if we want to, you know, mention that
well,
one.
As long as it's animated, yeah.
Yeah, animated kitty porn is totally not evil.
That was such an awkward thing to watch.
Yeah,
oh my
dude,
gosh.
It's very weird.
Yeah, that to me was the nail in the coffin for PragerU.
But, and that was Dennis Prager, but then the woman who runs it, Melissa Strait, right, she literally came out of 8200, so it's literally an Israeli psyop, and Cash Patel's girlfriend worked for it. More on the other side. More tantalizing information. Stay tuned.
Let's see what's cooking on TV.
Thanksgiving Day is coming, and for Charlie Brown, that can only mean it's a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
I'll tell you, Pat, this stuff is looking good and smelling good and tasting good. We got to dig in and start eating now.
Here comes. Oh, girl, what a feast this is. This is beautiful, girl. Congratulations.
Nice.
Got the turkey. Give me that bike. Hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. See, folks, I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives.
Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Lass. For those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkey. Film at 11.
Hey, buddy.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Don't let him kill me! I'm too young today!
Look, I had a chance to shoot a bunch of you the other day and didn't.
He wants to get rid of Thanksgiving forever. To get rid of the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
All right, Spider-Man.
He's got spiderweb rays coming out of his hands. He can cling to tall buildings. And he's looking for Octopus, the Green Goblin.
Ferengi to O.J. O.J. running to the left, turns the corner at the 30. O.J. in the 25, the 20, and falls ahead of the 15.
That does it. He broke the record.
For Clint Longley, even if he never completes another pass, they'll always remember the one he threw on Thanksgiving Day 1974.
Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners?
Those aren't pillows.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Tonight, on this Thanksgiving, I come before you to ask your help, to ask your strength, to ask your prayers. All of us have lived through 7 days that none of us will ever forget.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by millionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle. We're the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, get the ultramethylene blue, get the IRC moss, and so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip, get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment, like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it, or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe, and then cancel any time for free. But that way, you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, final segment on this Monday edition of The War Room for the 3rd of November, 2025. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us in our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. It's 25% off all products right now, site-wide, on top of the other huge deals. Ultramethylene Red, all supplements, all shirts, hats, and hoodies are all 25% off right now. You guys just took some of the methylene blue. Is that your first time testing out some?
I didn't get to try any, but I'm going to in a minute.
You got to try some. Yeah.
I know.
We'll get you rolling for poker night later.
Yeah. Sounds good. Very fun.
I'm in.
Yep.
So yeah, please do support us. It's at thealexjonesstore.com. With me in studio are Ian Wendt. You can follow him on X at iWendster, iWendtster. And Ian Carroll is on X as well at Ian Carroll Show. And I actually want to go to this video. What was the video I was about to go to? was about to show y'all something. Oh, yeah, this one, because we were talking about Israel and the Gaza war and where we sort of ended up here. Let's go to clip number 34. Watch this. Get your take on the other side. This is Smotrich, Bezalel Smotrich.
Dude, his name is just
it sounds demonic.
Like a demon,
I know. It's like you couldn't write it if you tried. Yeah. But here's a statement he recently made about, you know, what's next for Gaza. Let's watch.
Criticism mounts some new comments. Israel's far-right finance minister could fuel tensions as well.
Bezalel Smotrich says negotiations are currently underway to divide Gaza and describes the battered enclave as, quote, a real estate bonanza. Listen to Smotrich describe the plan in his own words.
I admit, I didn't expect this. Just so you know, it's not funny. There is a business plan. Listen to me carefully. There's a business plan set by the most professional people there is and is on President Trump's table, and how this thing turns into a real estate bonanza. I'm not kidding. It pays off. I've started negotiations with the Americans. I say this not jokingly now because I also demand. We paid a lot of money for this war, so we need to divide how we make a percentage on the land marketing later in Gaza. And now, no kidding, we've done the demolition phase, which is always the first phase of urban renewal. Now we need to build. It's much cheaper.
Yeah, usually demolition happens without the people inside the building, but I guess that's, you know, details here. So, you know, this reminds me of, I'm sure you all saw the video when, what's his name, Witkoff and Kushner were being interviewed, and Witkoff seems like he kind of let it slip. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been working on this for 2 years, so... Yeah. So let me get y'all's reaction
goes like this.
To that. Yeah, yeah. Kushner's like, well,
he's like an amateur move.
What did
bro.
You say?
Yeah.
So what do y'all think? And then, you know, we have this other clip from Trump basically saying that he forced this on him. You can hear Bezalel Smotrich at the beginning there says, you know, oh, you know, we didn't really want this, but now we're making the most of it. I mean, there he is saying that Gaza is going to be prime real estate. Just what's your take on that?
You want me to go? I listening to that. I genuinely dropped my jaw. Like,
yeah.
He literally says, first comes the demolition and then comes building. Like, you're not even hiding what you're doing.
Yeah.
You literally,
because he's speaking in Hebrew.
Yeah. Because he thinks that, yeah. It's wild to me. But the way I look at this is, I hate where we are going to come out as Americans, because I think what a lot of people are not considering is, how the rest of the world is going to view us when we go right. in there and we build luxury hotels and pools and AI smart cities and all these different things on the literal bodies of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other human beings that were simply living,
yeah,
that were just existing. And we not only allowed that to happen, we sponsored it, we funded it, and now we're building on top of their bodies.
And profiting off of
all of it. Yeah. And how is the rest of the world going to look at America when that happens? And
honestly, my jaw did not drop when I watched it. And how the rest of the world is going to look at Americans is actually pretty much exactly how they already look at Americans, because this is actually the pattern of the American empire for most of the American empire. And I'm not saying that America is evil. I'm saying that American as an empire is actually the bankers that control the world that have been sponsoring both sides of every war since at least World War II, but probably World War I, profiting off of both sides and then profiting off the rebuilds and then sending out the CIA and intelligence agencies. Agency jackals to enforce the hegemony around the world. And so it's not a new pattern. And a lot of people all around the world have actually already experienced this type of abuse and violence from America as an empire. And a lot of the world already views us this way. This is just a reminder that we're still up to the same old tricks.
Yeah, it's just like another, just the cherry on top of the cake.
It'd be worth saying that just like when we criticize the American government and this American deep state, essentially, this globalist deep state in a lot of ways, we're not saying that America as a concept is bad. America as a concept is beautiful. America as a concept is the only reason why we have any opportunity to speak up against it. And in the exact same way, when we say Israel is doing evil things, well, we in a lot of ways say the Israeli government is evil, but actually there's all these clips that surface of Israeli citizens doing the most atrocious things to help support this violence and to essentially be a part of this brainwashed culture that thinks that they are on the right side of this when we are essentially all watching like a Holocaust happen on live TV.
Yeah.
And then we're watching them brag about the business deals and the profit that they're going to make off the back of that. Like, at least in the Holocaust, that like all the American corporations that profited off the Holocaust, at least they hid the fact that they had kind of been using the forced labor in these camps over there, and they kind of covered it all up and didn't really want us to know about it. But now it's just out in the open.
Well, yeah. And they're even talking about, I believe in the plans, they talk about how they're either going to allow the Palestinians to relocate, or they're going to give them digital tokens to live on.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry, what?
Hey, it's always been a pilot project. The West Bank is the number one testing ground for tech and surveillance.
Palantir, and that's where all that stuff comes in, and that's why, you know, that's why I have a lot of issues with the current administration, because it just seems like it's been very co-opted into this like crazy dystopian technocratic, you know, government rule, and we are just slow walking into this AI surveillance system that's going to create the scariest, you know, make the Patriot Act look like child's play.
Yeah. Well, and we're already seeing that. And this article, U.S.-run Gaza Riviera, post-war redevelopment plan sees voluntary relation of millions.
Ethnic cleansing.
Let's just rewrite that one.
But that was from the 1st of September. So this agreement came after that. And, you know, as far as I can tell, this was not what Israel wanted. And that's what Trump is saying. But just to emphasize what you guys are saying, I read this earlier from the Gray Zone, AI drones used in Gaza now surveilling American cities. So the company that was running surveillance drones in Gaza is currently contracted in like 50 U.S. cities patrolling and watching the protests there. So, yeah, Gaza has always been a testing ground. I made a video all the way back in 2023 saying Gaza is the world's first 15-minute city. Talking about how you have to get permission to move anywhere and just, you know, total destitution, regardless of you know, your ambition. There's no money, there's no resources, there's no nothing. But clearly, this is not what Israel wanted. Israel wanted Gaza to be theirs. They wanted to annex it completely. They wanted all the Palestinians exported to Canada or the U.S. or Europe. That's not what's happening here. And even from J.D. Vance, when he was taking questions at the TPUSA event, people asked him about it, and he said, well, to get the peace deal done, we had to use leverage against Israel, saying Trump is one president not controlled by Israel. We have this story that just broke minutes ago while we were on air, actually. Trump boasts he pushed Netanyahu into Gaza ceasefire in a candid reveal. I understand we have this on video from ZeroHedge.com, but it's posted on InfoWars as well. Let's go to this video and then try to square this, because it doesn't seem like Israel got what it wanted with Gaza, but it seems like they're still, you know, gung-ho about making it into Riviera, the seaside, you know, real estate. So I can't really tell, you know, who's winning here. Let's go to Trump saying that he basically had to force the ceasefire onto Gaza, onto Israel, rather. Let's watch.
He's fine. Look, he's a wartime prime minister. I worked very well with him. Yeah, I mean, I had to push him a little bit one way or the other. I think I did a great job in pushing him. He's a very talented guy. He's a guy that has never been pushed before, actually. That's the kind of person you needed in Israel at the time. It was very important. I don't think they treat him very well. He's under trial for some things, and I don't think they treat him very well. I think it's, you know, we'll be involved in that to help him out a little bit, because I think it's very unfair. I did. I pushed him. I didn't like certain things that he did, and you saw what I did about that. I also stopped. You know, we knocked the hell out of Iran, and then it was time to stop, and we stopped.
So there he says, I pushed him. You know, previously he has made very strident remarks saying the West Bank settlements are not going to expand. Now those are expanding regardless of what he's saying. But still, even just to make the statement was sort of a unique instance in the history of American presidents. So, I mean, what do y'all?
That's some massive ass cuck behavior. Trump has all the leverage in the world. We fund that nation to the tune of many, many, many billions of dollars. The only leverage we don't have is a blackmail sex pedophile ring. We don't have that one, but, you know, that one appears to count for a lot.
Might explain why the cuck behavior, Ian.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's no excuse for this level of cuckery, where if Trump were to say that we should have this deal, that should be the bottom line. And there should be no question about it. And there should be every bit of leverage on the table if Israel was just a small country in the Middle East. Right. But The blood libel that you aren't allowed to say is that Israel is not just a small country in the Middle East. Israel is a network of Jewish Zionist donors all across the world that have funded Trump's campaign, that funded Charlie Kirk's entire organization, that funded basically every right-wing media organization in America, and that will cancel you, slander you, and maybe even more to you if you speak out against it, particularly if you come from the inside like Charlie Kirk did.
And they are currently buying up Google, YouTube, AI, VPNs. They own TikTok. Like I can't see that any other way than Ian said. I mean, it's absolute cuck behavior. And not only that, it's like it's atrocious based on everything that we actually know about Bibi Netanyahu, based on everything we know about his crimes. And also, it's no different for me than Trump standing up and saying, I gave him weapons. You know, I gave him all these different weapons and he knew how to use them and he used them well. It's like, bro.
And so, I mean, going back to what you said at the start of this segment here, Harrison, why is it that like Israel doesn't seem to have wanted this ceasefire? And Bezalel Smotrich speaking about sort of his take on it and all that. And it's important to remember that the crimes that Trump just spoke about, we're going to help him out with this trial and his crimes. Those are corruption crimes and they're very real. And the evidence is out there and you can watch the BB Files, a documentary that exposes it all. And the moment that war stops, Benjamin Netanyahu is probably going to prison in Israel for those crimes.
And
Israel has put prime ministers and presidents and high level executives in the government into prison for far less before. And those crimes, like, they are extremely serious. And so the reason why Bezalel Smotrich is in the Israeli government is because Netanyahu got voted out. And the only way that he got back in was by allying with the most far-right extremist coalition of groups that were not taken seriously at all before then in the Israeli government because they were so extreme. And now the Israeli government, which has been running this war, yeah. They are the most extreme party you've ever seen, or at least lately, in Israel. And I think that that's where what those people wanted is a far more religious concept. What those people wanted is God's chosen people having God's promised land, and they wanted nothing less. But what they're having to settle for is just, okay, we'll all just make a lot of money with a more rational, fucked up, psychotic version of events.
Yeah, because right. It's like we already got away with doing the violence. We already got away with completely freaking ruining these people and turning their home into an ashtray. So, you know, we got away with that. Let's just kind of, I think everybody's just settling at this point, including Trump. I think Trump is also just kind of settling because, again, I'm on Ian's side. I think that there is a massive blackmail going on, and it's not necessarily just because of Epstein or whatever. They have something on Trump and the people around him. That is truly what I believe. That is just my opinion. It is not fact, but my opinion is that is truly what is causing Trump to be such a cuck. I mean, straight up to make those decisions.
It is worth mentioning that Israel is the only nuclear armed nation that doesn't have to
disclose them.
Yeah, and they have not signed any nuclear treaties. And, you know, there is a book called The Samson Option that you could read if you wanted to learn a little bit about the history of that nuclear program.
And I actually said that at the beginning, you know, I said, to me, that is one of the most likely scenarios, is that option is actually being held over Trump's head. Because at the end of the day, if that was the truth, right, what would you do as Trump? I mean, if they basically said, hey, look, you're either going to play ball or this is your option. And it's like,
especially when you know when you know that Israel is by far the world's number one assassinator, and they have a long, well-documented history of political assassinations all across the world in other countries.
Yes.
And Trump is in no way immune to those assassinations. It's ridiculous for people to even suggest that it's a conspiracy theory to suspect Israel when there's a high-level political assassination, because when there is a high-level political assassination, Israel is the number one suspect by default because they have done it more than anyone else, and they're better at it than anyone else, and it's not easy to do.
Yep.
And so it's like, no, you're the conspiracy theorist for thinking anything else, because I'm reading the history books, and when you see a pattern all across history, that's reading. It's called reading.
Right. Pattern recognition.
And it's the whole idea of, like, at what point are there too many coincidences to be a coincidence? Like, how many dots do you have to connect to be able to say, okay, something's going on and it has to do with this country because for some reason the country keeps popping up in these 15 places surrounding this one event?
Yeah.
And now we see the MAGA coalition. We see the MAGA coalition literally MAGA coalition. Letting the Republican... the Republican Party fracture into 1,000 pieces around the Israel question rather than just put America first.
It's not even, okay, this is the thing though. I hate when people are saying this. It's not even the Republican Party. It is the America First movement. Okay, and the America First movement, say what you want to say, it's made up of MAGA, it's made up of, you know, more...
The MAHA.
It's yeah. made up of the, not independents, but the, what's the word I'm looking for? Republican, Democrat, and libertarians. Like, it's all of these people that just simply want America first, that just simply want to start focusing on...
Or at least it's made up of all the people that we thought wanted to put America first.
Yes, but right. but that's what I'm saying. And so now what's happening is it's splintering because I believe what you're actually seeing is you're seeing patriots versus loyalists.
Yeah, yeah.
You're seeing the people that are willing to continue to stay loyal to their party, loyal to the people, even though they're acting completely in the opposite of their interests and their values, which that's what you vote on, right? When you vote based on your values and you vote based on what you think is going to be best for you and the country and your people. And yet you have these people that refuse to switch lanes on that simply because of their loyalism. And then you have the people that are like, no, this is what I want as an American. This is what I want for my people. And this is what has not happened. And so I'm going to fight to have that because that's what I want as an American, as an America First patriot. So what you see is that. I believe, Harrison, you see America First patriots versus America Last loyalists.
Yeah, the Zionist faction. I completely yeah. agree. And yeah, obviously, as we've pointed out, you know, the America First contingent being anti-Israel might be part and parcel with the rest of the nationalistic concerns we have, but that's not how we define ourselves. It's not the pro-Israel versus the anti-Israel. It's the Israel first versus America first. And you know, part of the frustration that I know is causing the right to splinter around Israel is the fact that we're not getting what we voted for. We're not seeing the attention paid to the things that we got Trump elected for.
We're seeing the opposite of
the exact opposite.
Yeah. So, yeah. you know, it's almost like if I'm going to give advice to Israel, it'd be like, if you want us to stop talking about Israel, you got to use all your influence you have to yeah. make America great. Make
exactly.
us great.
Seriously, flip the Hasbro campaign.
We won't even care about what Israel's up to.
Do you know what they're doing with all of their money instead? Oh, they're hosting all of these conferences in America, just like a bunch of Jewish conferences in America, which is like we just had this one that's blowing up all over X, and it makes you wonder, wait, how many conferences do we have in America every single freaking year that are like literally just Israel conferences masquerading as America First? So I looked up a list of how many in 2024, how many Jewish aligned, Israel aligned Zionist conferences did we have? And the answer is we had conferences from AIPAC, J Street, AJC, ADL, Jewish Federation of North America, ZOA, Tikva Fund, Hadassah, JCPA. And it totaled out to at least 12 major pro-Jewish Zionist political conferences in America last year.
That didn't even list the ones I know about.
Exactly.
The Jewish News Syndicate,
exactly.
The one that we just talked about, the Republican Jewish Coalition, you have the Jewish Congress.
Don't forget all of the ones coming out of TPUSA and CPAC.
But guys, it's a conspiracy theory that this country is involved in our country and trying to control yeah. our politicians. Come on.
Yeah, we're just trying to live our lives over here and not pay taxes to yeah. pedophiles. It's really that simple. It's not a high bar.
It really is crazy.
Speaking of which, our government's still shut down, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. It's still, but we're somehow still paying the benefits to the people who don't work. So it's yeah. like only the good stuff is shut down. All the bad stuff continues unabated. That yeah. seems how it works. We're still starting a war in Venezuela while the rest of the country is shut down.
Boots on the ground in Venezuela. Did I hear that right?
That's not there yet, but it sure looks like it. And hey, Venezuela is not with the banking system. It's real frustrating that Venezuela doesn't have a BIS bank. Those assholes.
How dare they commit terrorism by not having a bank?
Follow the money.
Well, and you know, I saw somebody today saying, yeah, Putin is looking at the Venezuela issue. And I thought, hey, aren't we kind of doing to Venezuela what we say Russia did to Ukraine? Like this country that's sort of minding its own business when the bigger superpower comes in and starts kicking them around?
So
isn't that exactly what we accused Russia of doing?
Yeah, and going back just a little bit of a backtrack, when you were talking about how, you know, we just kind of want to be left alone and like we want Israel to make us great again or whatever. It's not only that we're being shamed and we're being called anti-Semites and everything else for just questioning Israel and questioning what they're doing and questioning their influence. But on top of that, we're being shamed for doing the exact same thing that we did when it came to Ukraine.
Right.
Yep.
Like all of us did,
MAGA.
Seriously, all of the biggest like MAGA influencers that are now attacking all of us, they did the same damn thing when it came to Ukraine, but it's okay because it was with the Democrats?
Well, Ukraine is not God's chosen people.
Yeah,
just so you know.
Wow, that's up for debate too, actually. if you want to get right down to it.
It blows my mind that the debate about God's chosen people never points out the fact that if God has chosen people, then other people are lesser. Like, you might even say three-fourths of a person, for example. And that just does not sound very Christian or American in my mind.
Yeah, and somehow God's chosen people don't believe in God's only begotten son. That's weird to me. I don't know, man.
It's all very bizarre. Clearly, we're trafficking in, age-old anti-Semitic tropes here. That's what's so funny to me. Yeah, it's just like nobody who's arrived where we are now, which I assume I can speak for all of us, when it's like, we genuinely don't. I don't hate Israel. I definitely don't hate Jewish people in the slightest. I just want them to stop. I just really, really, really want them to stop. But it always goes back to them, like, you're believing Hamas propaganda, or you're following old tropes about blood libels from the Middle Ages. And it's like, or I'm just watching the news. Like, I don't need anybody to spoon feed me this information. I can see it for myself and come to my own conclusions. But it always has to be, you know, we're being tricked by Hamas somehow.
I mean, at this point, you don't even have to watch the news, because every day the attacks directly at us for just exercising our free speech in America is like...
enough.
That is enough to turn a lot of people anti-Semitic all on its own. It's like we have to wake up every day and try not to become anti-Semitic because of the way that these people are treating us, foreigners from another country, let alone the American citizens that are loyal to
it. I feel that exact same way. Sorry to cut you off. Where it's like, you're not going to make me hate you. I don't hate. I love everyone, and you're not going to change my mind.
But
you really have to be
so
that
hard
way.
Every
but
day.
But it's the same game plan, dude. I said this the other day too, right? Just think about COVID. Anti-vaxxer, anti-Semitic.
Mm.
COVID denier, Jew hater.
Right.
It's the same game plan.
All semantic games.
And it all comes down to, it's like I told you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like I told you, my buddy Bobby, what he said, he's like, it was something to the effect of like, I get on the news during, like, get, you want to pull it up? Yeah.
Yeah,
probably better. I'll try to quote him.
I had it up, but it's what we always say.
Shout out to Bobby, dude.
It's, you know, people say we're obsessed with Israel. It's like we're literally just responding to the deluge of constant Israel worship
all day
long. Getting, yeah.
Yes. And it's worth mentioning too that Israel just recently multiplied their propaganda budget 20x, 20 right. times the propaganda budget. And Netanyahu had a on video camera meeting with American social media influencers where he told them this is warfare, and the most important part of that warfare is TikTok, and the second most important part is X, and we need to use all the weapons of warfare in those battlefields to win the war, meaning to target American citizens with Israeli propaganda. And now we have things like FAR registrations showing us exactly how they're doing it, how much money they're paying to specifically target Christian churches in America on the West Coast,
which is also
by geofencing and tracking all the phones of people attending
which
church.
Which was also weirdly tied to Turning Point USA.
Absolutely.
That was kind of weird how that happened, right?
Yeah, and it's just a small
window into a
system that has been happening for decades. It's been happening since before I was born. And that's why so many people were not awake to it before, because it's like a fish swimming through water. But suddenly the water's all gone. No one can drink. We can't eat. We can't even afford our house. Like, we can't afford anything. And we're sitting there flopping around like, what the hell is going on?
And meanwhile, while all that's happening, all these people are just constantly calling you anti-Semitic and calling you a Jew hater. And it's like, when did I start hating Jews?
Right.
Like, this is news to me. Yeah. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate, like, did this happen?
And in a weird way, they want you to. They want to be proven right, right?
100%.
And of course, that's why it's always, as Josh Hammer puts it, your DNA is anti-Semitic, right?
Yeah,
there's anti-Semitism in your DNA, because if that's the truth, then they don't have to worry about any of their own behavior or anything that made, you know, people turn against them. It was in their DNA. It just hadn't been expressed yet. It was like a disease. So
it's the same. What is that term when they were teaching kids about racism when they were like 10 or whatever? What was that called? I forget what the term was.
But where they would say you're internalized racism.
Yeah, teaching little white boys that they're just racist because they're white. I forget what the name of the term was. But that's the exact same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're inherently racist because of this. And it's like, no, that's not true at all.
Well, Josh Hammer is on record on Twitter basically saying that all white people are inherently racist, and that would include his buddy Charlie Kirk, his really good friend Charlie Kirk.
It's weird how they all call Charlie Kirk the exact thing that they're yelling at all of us about, right?
It's pretty awkward.
It's pretty strange. This is the post from Bobby Sauce at Bobby Sauce Alito on X.
Shout out, Bobby.
Nearly every person, every single day, Israel, everyone else. We should focus on America. We're kind of broke. Them. Why do you hate you? Wow, we're already out of time. This flew by. Ian and Ian, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Harris.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bodies Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.